There you go. This is like a sequel, if you will. All right, Jenna Cameron, John Ritchie on a Friday morning, a football Friday, getting ready for the Eagles and the Bucks. Let's hope it's not whatever it was last year. What, 32-9 or something like that?
Correct.
Holy mackerel. You know, I had to, you know, put together a bathtub time machine last night. Let me tell you what, it's not today. Eagles-Bucks history.
It's not good.
I want no parts of that.
No one
wants to hear that.
No.
All right. And by the way, as bad as last year was, 1/50th as painful as O2.
Yep. Well, a 50th isn't enough. One thousandth, maybe.
James, let me ask you this question. Your lifetime, you've seen the Bucks, 0-2. You've seen the Eagles lose 2 Super Bowls in your lifetime. You have seen Joe Carter. You've seen the Kawhi Leonard shot. You've seen the Patrick Kane goal and others. Which, for you, was the worst?
So, I have two. I mean, Joe Carter is uncomparable to anything else. I was 12 years old, you know, so I can't.
Did you cry immediately?
Yeah, bawling. My mom had to console me on the, like, I remember it so vividly. Yeah. Like, nothing can compare to being a child like that. But in my later years, my adult life, so to speak, I thought that Tampa Bay was going to be the worst. But for me, losing to the Chiefs was worse because it felt like, I know going into the Tampa game, that was our game to win.
Yeah.
But once the game started, as soon as Deuce scored, everything else, it was like, oh no, this isn't going the way we wanted. Like, we had the Chiefs Super Bowl. Like, that was ours. We won. And there were so many little dumb things that you could point to for the reason they lost.
So the reason I don't go with that, to me, that's not even close for me, because the Eagles had won a Super Bowl a few years before that. Which, in my opinion, changed the equation quite a bit. All right, let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Tone Love in Philadelphia. Tone, what's going on, pal?
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Doing great, Tone Love.
Hey, yeah, that's me. Yeah.
So we haven't heard from you before, Tone Love.
Yeah, I was.
I like it.
Yeah, I go back with Ange, and I've been a super fan of the Phillies. I grew up in South Philly. My group's Tough Crew. We're one of the biggest rap groups out of Philly from the golden era. And you guys might know Monty G. He's a super fan.
That's awesome.
Oh, wow.
Love Monty G.
He's from my group. Shout out to Monty G, too. But I'm the guy that did Bring It Home for Jerome back in the day.
Well, that's special.
Oh, wow.
Tone, that's special. You know, Tone, let me tell you something. I went to the Final Four 2 years ago, New Orleans, Nova, Duke, Carolina, and Kansas. And because it was played in that stadium, I wore my Jerome jersey because, you know, that's where the Eagles finally got a playoff win that year when they were trying to bring it home for Jerome.
Right, exactly. So, yeah, I'm still with them, man, and I've been feeling like they need a little booster shot. So I did another song for them I call Gang Green.
Nice.
And I wanted to give that to you guys first to check out. So
I appreciate it. Well, if you can, email Seltzer. I'll put you on hold. Get to Seltzer.
Yeah, put him on hold. I'll grab him.
And we'll listen to it, and if it meets the mark, yeah, we'll play it.
That's right, awesome, yeah, cool. Tone Love.
Thank you, Rose. And I wanted to, hey, Devin, good morning, too. I wanted to comment a little bit on the Eagles. My answer for the sequels would be, I think his name was Merovingian. He was in the Matrix sequel.
Okay.
The Architect.
Yeah.
Yeah, what a character that is.
Personally, I think Hyman Roth would have been a better answer, but that's okay.
I can't believe you took Hyman Roth. I had like 5 winning answers. Hyman Roth was one of them.
I got someone from a Matrix sequel. Hyman Roth was on the board. Bang! No longer. But that's all right. All right, Tone Love, give me your Eagles point.
I'm kind of a little skittish. I don't feel super great about them. I definitely know we could have won that Falcons game, but I hope we don't get into a pattern of losing the games we win and winning the games we lose. You know how they do that sometimes, the games you expect they're going to have a harder time with, they win and then
that's
they lose.
That's known as the Buddy Ryan era.
I don't think that this – yeah.
Wow.
I think this team is going to rise above that.
What a good call.
Right?
And I was around for that. So
yeah, Tony, you know what I'm – dude, I remember losing to the Cardinals, the freaking Colts 1 year. It's like, you got to be kidding me. All right, Tony, you're a great caller. Call us as often as you can, man.
Put him on hold.
I'm going to put you on hold. You talk to Seltzer. Let's hear from Jason Kelce right now. So Kelce on our show every Thursday, 7:30 to 8:30. Now, what we're about to play happened very end of him being with us. Actually, it was about 8:35, I believe, yesterday. And he gave us an extensive answer on some stuff with Sirianni we've wondered about for a long time. This is about 3 minutes long. Listen to Kelce. We'll react. Here's Jason Kelce yesterday to us on Nick Sirianni.
What is it
that you see that we don't see as much that gives you more belief in Nick than many other people
have? Yeah, well, I see him every day, where I did. Right. I have a personal relationship with the guy, and you see his investment in the team. You see his willingness and ability to make the team better regardless of what's at stake, whether it's personally for him. It might not even be the best interest in him, the way he answers a question in the media, the way he gives up play calling, all of these things that he's done in the past and is still doing shows me that he has an accountability to the team to do what's in the best interest of those guys. He truly loves his players, and he is doing the best he can in trying to make the team better. And I think that by and large, he's doing a great job of that over his entire tenure. Obviously, last year, we struggled. We struggled big time on offense and defense. We replaced coordinators. We replaced one coordinator in the middle of the season. Yeah. And everything that happened with players gone and coaches in didn't work. But I think that he's had a very successful tenure, and I think that a lot of that comes down to his competitiveness, his desire to be the best coach he can be and improve, and he's continuing to do that. And I saw that on a day-to-day basis. You see it as he, I don't want to say cover, the way he answers questions in the media, guys respect that. And then he also keeps guys accountable. I'm not messing with – I'll say this wholeheartedly. He's the best team meeting coach I've ever been around.
Wow.
Like, and I wasn't with Bill Belichick. I know Bill
because
would do similar
things. Because he held your attention?
Yeah. Well, and I was also young with Andy, so I wasn't, like, evaluating Andy Reid as a head coach in team meetings. Like, I was just like, whatever you want me to do. I'm a first-year player, right? Like, I'm not in that mold at that point in my career. Hmm. But, no, he would hold guys accountable. He's showing plays. He's showing what you did well and pointing it out and celebrating it. And he's showing where we need to improve at and what went wrong in the game. And he's putting his name up there. He's putting my name up there. He's putting defensive players' names up
calling
there.
Calling everyone not, out if they deserve it.
And it's not like a calling out. It's just like, hey, we're being accountable here. We need to improve this. And like, there's something about that happening in a team meeting when everybody's watching that it means a lot more. There's a level of openness that, okay, everybody is seeing that the D-line struggled in this. Right? Because when it doesn't happen in the team meeting, like, everybody kind of knows it, but it's not apparent. Like, now we're going to show this. We're going to show somebody losing a one-on-one in a practice in front of the whole team. So,
and that's
you're
going to
go out there the next day. Yeah. You want to be embarrassed in front of all your peers in the next meeting? So, I think he does a lot of things really well. He's certainly not perfect, but I just really have appreciated those aspects of him.
Do you think that players, because he is holding practices that are 45 minutes, you know, that is kind of nice. You know, you guys are appreciative of that side.
Correct.
He is kinder, gentler. Mm-hmm. Does that influence the way you feel about Nick because he's easy?
I think that regardless of whether a coach is, I guess, I don't like kinder or gentler. There's all coaches have their own way of coaching. I have seen Jim Washburn say some things to D linemen that I'm like, you couldn't say today. Like, I saw him say stuff anyways, I saw him say stuff to D linemen where I'm like, dude, that's like, what are you doing right now? Guys loved him, and they would have run through a brick wall for Jim Washburn. It more comes down to, at the end of the day, does the player feel like this guy really cares about me, and does he want the best out of me? And however you get to that. Now, I don't think that people just like Nick Sirianni because the practices are easy. I don't think that at all. I think that, and this year, they're not. They've been practicing harder this year than they ever have under his tenure. And the guys want to improve at the game. They might hate practicing hard at times, but at the end of the day, people want to get better. And when the coach is doing it with the right intentions and he's genuine and it's not some show, which I've seen as well, which that's way more annoying. A guy going up in front of a team and ripping people, if it's deserved and it makes sense and it's true, very seldom is that an issue. When it's an issue is a guy's going up there and ripping somebody when he made a bunch of other mistakes, or he's doing it to like somehow like elicit some response. That's when it's a problem.
All right, that's Jason Kelce yesterday. Really interesting, you know, combination of answers there on Sirianni, and ultimately a pretty big endorsement. Song, apropos for the greatness of the hammer, which will be in front of your ears.
Stop it,
man. I was wondering, I heard apropos, and I was wondering where you were going with it. I was like, is there a London thing today I didn't know about?
All right, so Pete the Hammer today at 7:45. By the way, we should have a very worthy contestant Our excellent caller, Ed in Phoenixville, he challenged me earlier this week. I accepted the challenge. James, I think it's fair to say Ed in Phoenixville knows his stuff,
Ed
right?
knows his stuff. And like I said yesterday, I'm not kidding when I say this. It has been about 2 years of Ed being like, I was the first caller. I was the third caller. He calls wow. every week. He has been dying to play you and beat Dan.
And never has?
Never has. Not one time.
Okay. Well, he'll join the ranks of losers today. So
I don't feel that way.
He does
feel...
know sports. I mean, clearly.
He knows his stuff.
Man. Yeah. All right.
How long has it been? It feels like it's going way back.
This is absolutely
like the winter.
Yeah. I feel like since you went 23-0 or whatever to start, this is the longest streak since, and might be just, I don't know.
No, that's not accurate because I had a loss a couple months ago, but I think what it is, I've only had one loss in about 9 or 10 months. I think.
It's outrageous.
It is. It is pretty amazing. It's been quite a roll.
I don't think it's amazing.
Said outrageous, and you go, you're outrageous. Right, it's amazing.
I'm going to look back in the Twitter archives and see when this loss was, because I feel like it's been forever.
A long time.
Too long.
A long time. All right, Elliot Shore Parks in 10 minutes on the Eagles beat the Hammer at 7:45. Let's get to Dennis in Springfield right now. Hi, Dennis.
Yeah, your poll question answer would be the Mets.
For missing it or making it? Just for I'm going to be clear.
Missing it. Missing it. They're obnoxious fans.
They are more obnoxious fans than the Braves. That's very clear.
Yeah, they need no joy.
And the Braves fans do the frickin' chop. And that shows you how obnoxious the Mets fans are. That I'd say
it's a great point, Joe.
You know what I mean?
Now, as far as the Eagles go, well, anyway, before I get to the Eagles, Giants fans, you think they're happy that their guy didn't go for it once on fourth down, kicking 5 field goals?
Talking about last night?
Yeah. I mean, come on. And who's a better coach, Dable or Sirianni?
Well, I don't know. I mean, that's the simple way to put it.
He doesn't have a quarterback, really.
He does not have a quarterback. It's very hard to win in pro football when you got that. If you got seven quarterback, that's hard.
That receiver they have, though.
He's good.
He got a concussion late, but Neighbors, he's exciting.
Yeah, it was a cool clip last week seeing Myles Garrett compliment him on the field after a TD.
So you got Neighbors.
And he's like, thank you, Mr. Garrett. Or
he said, thank you, sir.
Sir, that's what it was. Yeah, it was
sir.
Great. I loved it.
So Neighbors and Jaden Daniels, guys.
You're right.
In our division, who are feeling legit. Like, other teams have certain – they've scored with their picks.
But we also – no, you're right about that, but we also know wide receivers without a quarterback get very frustrated.
Yep.
Very frustrated.
That's true.
So let's see
CeeDee Lambs gets frustrated with Dak Prescott.
And he's got a pretty good quarterback.
He's going to make Daniel Jones look like he's a lot
he's
more
gonna
functional.
Him. He's going to help him. There's no doubt.
Ooh, maybe he can get Daniel Jones another contract. How about that?
Hey, Dennis, give me a great answer for a character from a sequel.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Michael B. Jordan in Creed.
Oh, wow. Good answer.
I just want to make sure we count that officially as a sequel.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Sly's in. Rocky's in that first Creed movie. Yeah, for sure.
Just because the name of the movie is different.
Yeah, but I think it definitely counts.
I agree. And he is what? Adonis. I want to write this down.
Adonis Creed.
Adonis Creed. That's a great answer. That is a really good answer. Let's get to today's Twitter poll questions of the day. They're both brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin is offering huge savings on every leftover 2024 Equinox remaining in inventory. Together, let's drive. ArminChevy.com. Poll questions. Who wins Sunday, Eagles or Bucks? Last week, more people picked the Saints than the Eagles in the poll. Let's see where it goes this week after an Eagles win last week, but one obviously that was not, 0-4 Eagles-ish as far as dominance. Second poll question, who would you rather see miss the playoffs, the Braves or the Mets? Braves or Mets, who would you rather see miss it? Put another way, who would you rather see make it? Hey, reminder to all the school administrators out there, the athletic directors, the principals, those that run schools and run athletic programs, Turkey Bowl is coming up. So either Thanksgiving Day or Thanksgiving Eve, we're going to broadcast a game here on WIP this year, as we have now for many years, with Turkey Bowl. And it's something we're proud to do. We love doing it. But we got to determine, and ultimately you got to help us determine, which game it's going to be. So we're going to get to the voting process in the month of October, but this weekend is the end of the submission process. Administrators and ADs, you have until Sunday to submit your school and the rivalry game for Turkey Bowl. Got to submit.
Got to get them in.
Got to submit. So here's the website.
You can't win if you don't submit.
Correct. Correct. 94WIP.com/Turkey Bowl. 94WIP.com/Turkey Bowl. Submit your school, submit the game, and it can be featured with all of your coaches and kids and school, your name all over WIP for weeks, and specifically that day. We look forward to doing it, so get those nominations in. All right, let's talk to Dave right now. He's calling from Maryland. Good morning, Dave.
Hey, how you doing, guys? I think the answer that I have to the poll question is the Braves not making the playoffs, and just simply because playoffs are about matchups, and having Sale, Fried, Schwellenbach, they fear me more than the Mets guys would.
That's a fair point.
I think it's a great point. Now, know this, Dave. They probably won't be lined up
because of that Monday game. Yeah.
To start their best.
Monday games.
Well, not just that. Then they have to play in the first round.
Yeah. Well, that too, yeah.
So they can be, they could be a mess by the time
they
But it
could also work for them where if they could use the guys in the doubleheader, win two games, you win three, you could have, like, it could play out for them.
It could swing back around.
When you look at the off days in the NLDS, I mean, game one, they might not be able to match up game one with who they want, but by Sunday.
But they have good starters. Yeah, that's fair.
Yes. Yep. The other point is the two seed is not as, you know, damaging as you know, I kind of look at it as the teams that I would like to see, and getting back to the matchups, and I would not want to see the Padres because of their starting pitching, and their lineup is a formidable lineup. They've been playing very well. That would be the number one team out of that group I wouldn't want to see. And if you're the one seed in a five-game series, you're going to see them if you're the one. And I understand the home field is
important. I've heard people say it's better to be two than one.
The Padres are definitely, I mean, they're scary. They have pitching that can match the Phillies.
The way it's shaping up, it's going to be, if you're the two, you're going to get the Brewers versus either the Mets, Diamondbacks, or Braves. And if it's the Mets, Diamondbacks, or, you know, the Diamondbacks have not been playing well. I think the Diamondbacks would also perk the Phillies' interest a lot more than
they'd also throw a shudder of fear through fans, though. I mean,
they would. Yeah, but the Brewers are probably the team I want to play the most out of all of them.
Correct. You know? All right, Dave, fantastic call. Give me a character from a sequel.
Fat Bastard from Austin Powers.
Oh, yeah. You got it, Dave.
Great answer.
Austin Powers has all sorts of answers in there.
We have an answer on your last loss in Beat the Hammer, Joe.
When was it?
So after digging through the archives.
Can I take a guess?
Yeah.
So this is late September. I will guess that it was late July or early August. Late July.
I would guess earlier than that. Yeah. I would have guessed like March, April.
Yep. James is right. April 12th
was
your last loss. Thought. You lost to Mike from the Northeast.
Did you look up the one prior to that? Because I think there was a huge stretch prior to that.
You lost for the first time in over 6 months, according to Twitter, March 1st.
So you've had two losses. Losses in a year.
Two in a year.
Yeah, two in a year.
6 months before March.
I just don't understand how we don't keep better track of this, because it's so important.
Good call.
All right, Elliot Short Parks will join us coming up shortly. Let's listen right now to Jordan Mailata. Obviously, last year it was a fiasco against Tampa. Todd Bowles likes the blitz a lot. Eagles are doing far better against it this year. But Bowles is a different dude. I mean, he'll bring in a lot. Here's Jordan Mailata on facing that kind of pressure and the rematch reality of the Eagles and Bucks.
What challenges does a Todd Bowles defense present?
I mean, you can think of every single blitz in the playbook, and the guy has it. You know, he has so many different presentations and coverages that he can bring it from, the blitz, and, that's what makes him so special. He's got the personnel and the playbook.
And what are the emotions going back down there after the playoff game, going back down there for the first time since the playoff game?
Yeah, I mean, it's been hard this week to not make it personal, you know, because it's, they sent us home, but you got to think, you know, this is a new year. We have a new team. They have a new team. And we just have to execute that game plan that we have going down there this week. So, again, this year it's been about, you know, not making anything too personal, learning from the mistakes that we made last year, and going down there with our team and executing the game plan this week, which is going to be fun.
Jordan Mailata talking about this game. I'll say this. I think of everything that has gone well this year, I think the blitz pickup is the number one thing that they've improved on. And to me, it's the thing that gets a star, the biggest thing that gets a star. Because all three games they've done, like, John, they haven't had a problem with it.
Well, it's been the focus. Like, that was the biggest concern. How in the world can they stop the blitz, which everyone turned against us last year. That was a big part of our problem. So this is it's wonderful. It's wonderful to see this actually coming. And we were talking all training camp. Oh, is it going to be Cam? Is it going to be Jalen who's making these calls and declaring the mic? How are they going to figure out how to do this without having live reps? Well, they figured out how to do it without having live reps, and it feels like it's dependable, and it'll continue to improve.
It's impressive.
I'm so happy to see it.
Yeah.
And I do. I have a lot of faith that this quarterback, this center, they can do that. It can handle it. You questioned whether it was, you know, whether they were up to this challenge, Joe. Like, it is very clear.
No, I wasn't. Well,
they can do this and then some.
Yeah, like, look, it wasn't my greatest concern coming into the year. It was a concern because of how last year ended. But I've seen enough football to know it shouldn't be that hard to figure out how to get better.
We have answers. You know, like, we have protection answers. We have route adjustment answers. It's like we've come to the adult table.
Well, one thing they have to work better on, though, and I mean, and sometimes it was a problem with Kelsey, but the first two plays last week, they were high snaps, and that's what killed that first drive. So, like, they got to work on that better. But, you know, you got to wonder if, because Jalen's making the calls, if he's seeing things better. Because he's more involved in it.
Yeah,
I mean,
I
don't know.
Look, there's a lot to it. I mean, the offense this year has been very uneven. Saquon, frankly, has saved their butt a couple times this year, to say the least. All right, let's talk more Eagles football. By the way, Dave Dombrowski today at 9:30. So Dombrowski, 9:30, as the Phillies get ready to start their playoffs 2 Saturdays from now, 8 days from now. Still a whole bunch of teams trying to figure out where they're going to get seeded, and frankly, some teams trying to still figure out whether they're even going to make it, which is kind of like the Eagles and the Bucks. Are they going to be playoff teams this year? All right, for more on that, let's talk to Elliot Sherparks. He joins us every Friday at this time. Good morning, Elliot.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Good, buddy.
Doing great.
Anxious to see this game and, you know, just get more information of what kind of squad do we have this year. So, Ellie, let's start not so much with, like, the team this year and what kind of squad big picture, but little picture this game, who's in, who's out, doesn't seem, based on the injury report, that things are trending in a good direction for A.J. Brown, Devontae, or Lane. What do you know just about those three before we get to some of the lesser players?
Yeah, I mean, today is obviously a big day. They'll release the final injury report, but I expect A.J. Brown and Devontae to probably be listed as straight out today, but I don't think either are going to play in the game on Sunday. So I think they'll definitely be without A.J., and I think Devontae is, you know, a definite as well.
And,
I
Elliot, let me ask you one question before you continue. Let's take a guy like Devontae, because we've kind of braced for A.J. maybe being out for a month. But a situation like Devontae, It strikes me like the Eagles and a lot of organizations have gotten really good at being really tight-lipped about what's going on, like what's really going on. Do reporters have any sense of if he's close or not? Is it just totally kept in-house?
Yeah, and I think that's especially the case with the concussion. You know, I think with other – look, the Eagles are very tight-lipped about injuries. That's just their philosophy. Yeah. That's how they handle things. But I think when it comes to concussions, it's especially just because you don't know. I mean, how someone's going to react, you know, day after day. So yeah, with Devontae, the best read for me is I've not seen either of them anywhere in the building. And normally, when a player is hidden from the media, they're not playing. So that's the best indication.
Jeez.
Yeah. What about Lane?
So Lane's an interesting case. Lane has been out on the practice field. He's stretched with the team. You know, I think there is some hope that he might play. I mean, you know, not often do players miss practice Wednesday, Thursday, and then play on Sunday, but clearly Lane's a case where, you know, just because of how long he's played, I think that's certainly a possibility. So today is a really good day, but the other side of that quickly, the Buccaneers are also dealing with a ton of injuries. They had 16 players on their injury report this week, a lot of key guys as well. So today is a very big day to see, you know, how this game's going to look on Sunday.
All right, let's get to two lessers, but still not insignificant. Becton and Covey, what about them?
So Becton will play. Becton injured his finger in the game, obviously, last week. Talked to him in the locker room this week. He had his finger wrapped up, but he said he'll be good to go. He'll play. Britton Covey, I think this is, you know, a long-term injury. I think he probably will play again this year. But I also think in, you know, 6 or 7 weeks when he's ready, that you'll see how the roster is playing, you know, how the roster is constructed. But, yeah, he'll be back and healthy enough to play this year. It's a matter of whether, you know, he'll get that roster spot back. But the other one is Milton Williams. Milton Williams was questionable with a groin injury. he has been really, really good for them this year. The defensive tackle play has been up and down, so Milton Williams is a big one to watch as well.
So what was his status in practice, Milton Williams?
He was limited yesterday with a groin injury, and he wasn't on the injury report on Wednesday, which would seem to indicate he suffered that injury, you know, either that morning when he showed up for practice or in practice, which, you know, is not a good thing.
That doesn't sound great.
And that's what happened to AJ.
No, he's a big deal. Milton Williams has been D tackle. He's been inside. He's been outside at times, lined up outside. What about Landon Dickerson? He's got a wrist as well, but I guess he's practicing. How's he feeling?
Yeah, I think he's going to play as well. Landon feels like a guy that, you know, just the nature of his position, he's always dealing with something. He did have a bit of a wrap on his wrist in the locker room yesterday, as well as out on the practice field. But all indications are that he will play on Sunday.
This Buccaneers team, how good is Baker Mayfield?
You know, Baker is kind of like the poster for the whole team in the way that they're just an average team. Like, there's just nothing they're really great at. If you look at all parts of their, all their different units, they have two great receivers, I will say, Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. But their passing game isn't great. Their running game isn't great. Their pass protection is not great. Really, where they make their bread and butter is on defense. They blitz a ton. They were third in the league last year in blitzing. They're fourth in the league this year. And they do that because they just don't have any great players on that defensive line. They have very average players. So this is a winnable game for the Eagles. But, you know, as we've seen with the way they've been inconsistent this year, I don't think you can feel confident they're going to win the game.
You know, we haven't talked at all about the fact that we had a blocked punt in this last game. Like, this is a major problem.
Let me tell you my philosophy on that. Don't let it happen again.
That's a blocked punt. That's a game-changing play.
We haven't even discussed it.
Yeah. Nolan Smith, I mean, it looked to me like Nolan Smith just flat out didn't block his man. And it could have been, I mean, that could have, the game hung in the balance.
You know, it's interesting, Elliot. We had Jason Kelce with us yesterday, and he talked about, and I remember Zach Ertz saying this a few years ago, that Sirianni will both praise players and be very clear in what they did wrong in team meetings. I mean, that Nolan Smith non-block on a blocked punt had to looked really bad in a team meeting.
Yeah, and you know, you guys are right. They were lucky to survive that. There were a lot of things that happened in that game where you would look and go, all right, this is, you know, they're going to lose the game. But Michael Clay brought Nolan Smith up at the press conference earlier this week when talking about that blocked punt. You're right that in team meetings, I'm sure Nolan Smith has heard about that. But the shame of it is, I actually think Nolan Smith had a pretty good game outside of that. I thought, you know, for the first time in a long time, you could look at those Georgia players and say, okay, this is what the Eagles envisioned when they drafted basically the whole defense from that year. So, you know, yes, the block was bad. The special teams have been good, so you don't completely forgive them, but they've turned into a good unit. But, bad mistake and a good game otherwise.
That's awesome that the Georgia players looked great because Bryce Huff looked horrendous. And I don't know, like, what's the word? Bryce Huff, do you just continue to dial him back until he doesn't play? What is the plan?
So I think the concerning thing with Bryce, and the edges in general, but in Bryce, is that when you rewatch that Saints tape, they were very happy to just put tight ends on Bryce Huff and trust the tight ends to block him one-on-one.
That's unheard of.
And as a result, you saw Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis get double teamed on a lot of snaps just because they had no respect basically for the Eagles' edges. And you know what? Rightfully so. Like, Bryce Huff did not beat the tight end often. None of them did. The edges were good against the run, but when it came to getting to the passer, a lot of that came from up the middle. So no, I don't expect a role change. I mean, he only played 18 snaps. I don't know how much further down you can go. I think until he plays better, you're going to see him in the teens when it comes to snaps.
Elliot with us right now. Pizza Hammer in 5 minutes. I'll be competing against Ed in Phoenixville, who's a great caller, knows the sports, challenged me this week, and Ed's going to get a whooping coming up in 5 minutes. But
sounds like you're trying to convince yourself.
Well, I mean, I know that Ed's
Why do you need to tell Elliot about that?
Well, I'm reminding the audience is what they call in radio a tease.
It feels like you're trying too hard to convince you.
I'm just saying this Ed guy's going to go down.
Ed knows his stuff.
I know he knows his stuff. All right, Elliot.
I hope you know he knows.
Elliot, 511 touches is what Saquon is on pace for if they have to play 21 games. It's not sustainable. Do they ever start mixing Shipley in? I mean, they're going to need Saquon this week because they're without, you know, two great receivers. But at what point do they not give Saquon the ball this much every game?
I don't think there's going to be a point. I mean, maybe in the last three games, if they have the one seed locked up, you'll see him start to get the ball a little less, like maybe come December. But I just don't get the sense that they feel that this is an issue. Talking to Saquon this week in the locker room, he said that, you know, people focus on the number of touches, but it's more about the quality of touches. Like, he's had games where he'll touch the ball 10 times and he feels way more sore and, you know, banged up the next day than days when he has, you know, 30 touches. And that is, you know, if you look at the way he's carried the ball this year, he really hasn't taken a ton of big hits. So I don't think it's something they're concerned about. I'm sure it's something they'll monitor late. But to your point, when you don't have Devontae, you don't have AJ, you might not have Lane, I don't see how the answer to winning that game is let's get Will Shipley the ball more.
Well, I'll say this.
Joe needs to stop worrying about a bell cow running back being a bell cow running back.
Let me just say this. James, we all want credit for what we're right about in life, all right? Mm-hmm. What have I not gotten enough credit about this football season?
What have you not gotten enough credit about this football season? I'm sure you would tell us.
What did I say about 25 times?
Oh, the Christian McCaffrey thing.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, you're right.
But everyone felt that way.
No, everybody didn't feel that way.
Christian McCaffrey was healthy 1 year, and it was last year.
And the 49ers,
no one ever expected him to be healthy again.
And they overused him last year.
I don't remember you fighting back this hard when Joe was saying it. Like, Joe said McCaffrey's going to be out for an extended period of time. You're like, oh, no, he's not. Like, whatever. Like, this is revisionist history. This is revisionist history.
As I said, not enough credit.
Guys, if you pay attention to like the fantasy football world,
but
he was the number one pick in every fantasy draft. He was the number one pick in every single one.
Was skating him down in there.
How are they skating him down?
He wasn't picked first.
Phony baloney.
The wide receivers.
Phony baloney. All right, Elliot. Final thing here. Hurts.
I can't believe you're begging for credit.
I don't even know what the question is with Hurts.
Well, you got to have a question if you want to ask a question.
How does he get to the point where he stops turning the ball over? How about that question?
I don't think there is a point where that happens. I think he is who he is at this point in his career. I mean, in 2022, he took care of the ball. Every other year, it hasn't really been the case. So I think the Eagles are going to just, you know, moving forward, you have to hope he makes more special plays than he makes mistakes, because the track record at this point of turning over the ball is too long to ignore. We've lived through quarterbacks. Carson said he would stop doing it. He never stopped doing it. Michael Vick said he would start sliding. He never stopped sliding. Like, some players just it is who they are, and that is who Jalen is proving to be, you know, 4 years into his career.
Yeah, I do not agree that he's proving to be a turnover-prone quarterback. Oh, I think the jury's out.
This one's pretty easy to say. Like, if you just look at his turnovers compared to other quarterbacks,
it's six turnovers this year. It's three games. I look at those two turnovers.
He would lead the league if he keeps doing two a game, dude.
Okay, you look at those two turnovers from the last game. One is a fumble. He knows he can't fumble. The second one, I think, is on Devontae.
He knows he can't fumble. Of course, he knew he couldn't fumble before the game on Sunday. What are you talking about?
He knows he can't.
Why? Come on, man. It's on other people, too. Devontae needs to come back to the ball. That throw was questionable. It could have been a touchdown.
And the snap that hit his belly is not his fault. Okay, that's not his fault.
Yeah, but again,
the two balls that should have been intercepted in Green Bay weren't.
This is much ado about something that you're way worked up over. It's not a problem.
Everyone else but you thinks it's a problem.
You're not on Revis Island.
John, you're on an island, man.
You're on Gilligan's Island, actually, with that one.
All right, let's see how many turnovers he has by the end of the season.
Last thing, my man, who wins Sunday?
This is a tough game to pick just because there's so many injuries up in the air for both teams. But if the Eagles don't have Lane, AJ, and Devontae, I just don't see how they win this game. Jalen's 1-3 in his career against Todd Bowles. I know they've been better against the blitz this year, but Bowles is really good at dialing up blitzes teams have not seen. So, you know, the injuries, we'll see who the Buccaneers are missing, but I think I'm going to pick the Bucs.
Okay. Elliot, enjoy the game, pal. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks, my man.
Yep, sounds good. Talk to you.
All right, Elliot Shure Parks. We go right from Elliot to a little game we call Beat the Hammer.
Beat the Hammer. It's time for Beat the Hammer on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
All right, our contestant today is Ed in Phoenixville. He's a longtime caller. He says he's never competed in Beat the Hammer. We know he knows his stuff. He's competing not only for the glory of the win, but he's also got the shot to win the Eagles Retro Knit Hat. And Beat the Hammer is brought to you by First Trust Bank, who encourages you to challenge your bank. I mean, I'll say this. Ed in Phoenixville is challenging me, which I think is a little strange, but okay, whatever. Hey, here's the deal about First Trust Bank. They're the largest family-owned commercial bank in our region, founded in South Philly, 1934, official bank of the Philadelphia Eagles with a record of 261-41. We welcome Ed in Phoenixville, who has a record of 0-0. Ed, why are you challenging me, fool?
I mean, you play to win the game.
You do, except if, like, you're going to face Mike Tyson. If you don't have a big payday, you don't get in the ring. Like, why take the punch to the face? You know what I mean?
Well, this is Buster Douglas talking to you.
Yes!
So let's go.
Ooh. All right. Well, you show you know your late 80s, early 90s boxing knowledge with
Buster
Douglas.
Let's hope you're in Tokyo.
What was that, 91?
91, I believe, yes. Yeah.
Holy mackerel. All right, Ed, we do know you know your stuff. I mean, you called us a million times. So just James was saying that you were telling him that you have long tried to get in and never did. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's unsuccessful. So I had to, you know, had to change the game a little bit.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, Ed, I'm going to step into the soundproof booth. I still think you're a fool for challenging me. But hey. I welcome the W. Head it my way. Ed, good luck to you, pal.
Thanks, sir.
Yeah, scram. Get out of here. Enough of this.
He's scramming. I do think he's doing a good job of trying to convince himself, Ed. He's feeling confident, but it might be manufactured. As he walks off into the sunset right now, I do think he's concerned. Deep down, through it all, through all the bravado, I believe Joe knows it's his time. He's due.
Yeah, he can't convince himself that you don't know sports because he knows you know sports.
True
so,
that.
You know, we're off to a good start.
Very exciting.
All right, is
we'll
he safe?
See if I do here.
Yeah. Is he safely ensconced?
Yes.
Okay. Let's play a little game we call Beat the Hammer. Eddie, ready to roll, my friend?
Yeah, buddy.
All right. Clock will start as soon as the first question is asked. 55 seconds as soon as the question is finished. Our category for the week, shout out to our Phils winning the NL East. They've done that 12 times in their history. We are talking about those 12 teams. NL East division winning Phillies teams. Are you ready to roll, my friend?
Yes, sir.
Here we go. The clock will start as soon as the first question is finished being asked. Question number one. The Phillies have only won 100 or more games in back-to-back seasons one time in their history. Name one of the 2 years it happened.
2011.
What 2007 All-Star hitter for the Phillies was not on the 2008 Phillies?
Pass.
Mike Schmidt is one of four hitters on the 1983 Phillies who won a ring in 1980. Name one of the other three.
Greg Luzinski.
The 2007 to 2011 Phillies clinched the NL East against the same opponent three times. Name that team.
Mets.
Two players were members of both the 1983 and 1993 Phillies. Name one of them.
Milt Thompson.
What?
Fine.
Oh, no, Eddie. Tough. I don't think zero will tie. It's tough, Eddie. It happens. But I think the Hammer's going to do better than that. We'll find out. They're not easy, per se. We're going to put you on hold. We'll wave the Hammer back in.
Put smiles on. Pretend.
I think he's going to crush it.
Good.
I do too, Rhea.
Oh. Yeah.
We'll find out. You never know.
We can see him approaching in this new setup from much farther away.
Oh, so you get a look.
Man, like is he pinked up. Oh, as pinked up as I've seen in years, Jimmy.
Really? Now, wow. So this is music. This music is very appropriate for today.
True that. True. Very, very true. But he's doing his best to appear confident, show a little swag.
It's clearly ready longer. We never get through this much of the music, so that's
ready
good.
To rock.
Okay.
There we go. All right, you ready, Hammer?
How you feel?
A little nervous.
You look a little unsettled.
Of course I'm unsettled. You know, this guy's challenging.
More unsettled than normal?
Yeah. Haven't
good.
Eaten yet.
Good.
Was up till 12:45 last night.
Haven't yes. eaten. What were you doing till 12:45?
I couldn't sleep. It's the typical deal. You take the nap and then.
Oh yeah,
it's
the nap's the killer.
When it's time to go to sleep, you
can
can't
I
sleep.
Tell you something? I went to bed at 5 p.m. last night.
Well, you're lucky.
Oh my god!
You took advantage of no Phillies game.
Yeah, I did. I feel so much better today. So.
Well, get ready, James, for.
That's
the
why,
Joe, of
that's
red
why I did it. I did it because I was like, I'm taking this now.
It's incredible.
I feel you. All right, you ready to roll here?
I've been ready. By the way, 261 wins, which is 261 more than Ed and Phoenix. Well, how did he do, by the way?
All right. You ready to roll here yet?
Been.
Okay. Our category for the week. Shout out to Red October. We're doing 12 times the Philadelphia Phillies have won the NL East. We're talking about Philadelphia division winning teams this week. Are you ready?
No, hold on. I just need to clarify. You said NL East. So like the 1950 Phillies
1969
don't count.
Forward.
Fair enough.
When the NL East began. That is
NL
correct.
East, they've won
nice
12...
look at you. You're already on your game.
Okay, they've won the NL East 12 times.
That's
and
correct.
This is about Red Octobers in the NL East era.
Yes. So 1969 forward, the teams that have won the NL East. You ready?
Fine, which would not be the last two. Okay.
Ed did not have all these questions.
I mean, I'm just wanting to clarify.
Which is correct.
Maybe I
yes,
just start
would not
the
be
clock.
The last two. That is correct. All right, you ready to roll here?
Sure, been ready. All Paul right. Owens, by the way. Pat
question
Morales.
Number one. The Phillies have won only 100 or more games in back.
So wait, the question is what? Is you're
okay,
going
I will start over. The clock will start as soon as the question is asked. Here we go.
Okay, go ahead.
The Phillies have only won 100 or more games in back-to-back seasons one time in their history. Name one of the 2 years it happened.
77.
What 2007 All-Star hitter for the Phillies was not on the 2008 Phillies?
Aaron Rowan.
Mike Schmidt is one of four hitters on the 1983 Phillies who won a ring in 1980. Name one of the other three.
Gary Maddox.
The 2007-11 Phillies clinched the NL East against the same opponent three times. Name that team.
Well, it's either, I'm going to say either. It's either the Marlins or the Nationals. I'm going to go with the Nationals.
Two players were members of both the 1983 and 1993 Phillies. Name one of them.
Larry Anderson.
Up! Frickin' yeah! Hammer time, baby!
And we're not talking MC.
The Hammer! 262!
Well, you don't know what Ed got.
Yes, he's a loser. I told you, come in, he's a fool and a loser. What did you do?
You won 5-0.
And this guy knows something, which shows you the great... I mean, why do we even bother? Listen. There was the Roman Empire, the Hammer Empire. I went Caesar on his ass. I'm going to get thrown out of the Borgata, by the way, for screaming.
I'm a little worried.
It's going to be a security issue soon. And we're just doing a radio show, ladies and gentlemen. It's just Sports Talk Radio, having some fun. It's a segment where I kick ass! Ed in Phoenixville, what happened to you?
Oh,
what happened, fool?
I took a risk. I prepared for Tampa Bay Bucks Eagles trivia, and it wasn't the right...
Ed, you know sports. Like, you know sports. I don't understand.
Did you
choke?
Oh, yeah, it was a major choke job, Reggie Miller style.
Reggie Miller was saying that the Knicks had choked. He wasn't the choker.
Yes.
He was
no
saying
kidding.
That the Knicks had choked. So
would have gotten that one wrong, too.
Yeah, wow.
Oh, yeah.
And Ed, let me just say to everyone listening.
Rhea, just kicking him when he's down there.
But here's the point. This goes to show there are a lot of callers that get on that know sports. But one of them.
Okay. Ed. Did
so
you, you actually? So the story is you actually prepared today for Eagles versus Buccaneers, and you thought you sort of had a secret plan that might work. You put all your chips in on that one, and then that wasn't the line of questioning. Is that what?
No,
happened? This makes my weekend.
Oh my God! Really?
It really does. All right, Ed. This is like when you get out of a pool as a man, right?
What?
Yeah, what is wrong with you?
Ed,
wait.
262 for the Hammer. Ed, you don't even get the parting gift. But we thank you for being a participant and a great caller. But I told you, Ed, they challenge me, they lose. Ed, stay well, buddy. Have a good weekend.
I'm
enjoy
sorry,
the game.
Ed.
Thanks for being a good sport.
Try.
We love you, Ed.
I mean, listen, I do love
it. It was
Eddie.
A good try.
Joe, I have to say that after, you know, he went over, I said to James before you're walking over, I said, Joe's going to crush these.
And then I said, I agree.
I had no doubt.
Wow. Well,
I knew it was a wheelhouse.
Here's the deal. Yeah. That guy challenged me. He failed. You do not have to fail in commercial banking. Challenge your bank. If you're not with First Trust Bank, challenge them. And challenge them to do better for you. If they don't, leave them. Get yourself to First Trust Bank, where they will take your business to new heights. Beat the Hammer, 262. Let's shut it down.
Beat the Hammer on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
How close was I to maybe having security come over here? Was that
messed
getting,
up?
Going, a little,
well, no.
The people checking in were very startled.
They were.
There were lines today. And it's the front desk. So this is people, everyone who's just walking in. It's their first experience at this gorgeous casino. Okay. And they're ready to stay and enjoy. And there's you screaming.
Screeching.
At the top of your lungs. They were concerned. They were worried.
Well, what do I do?
No one would bat an eye if it was 9 o'clock at night. Because it's a casino and there's a lot going on.
That's true.
At 7:45 in the morning, a little bit different.
You're right.